When you lack faith, you're hopeless. I love that statement. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good. That was nice. I'm just trying to see if everybody's smiling. Okay. I didn't sleep so good last night. You sleep okay? We had a new Bath and Body Works scent, like the eucalyptus mint or whatever, in our room, and I think it was just too much for me, so my mind never stopped. So anyway, TMI, I guess. Anywho, my name's Jeremy, and I'm the worship leader here at Southridge, and it's a privilege to speak to you this morning. Can you do me a favor? Can you take out your phone if you got one? Smartphone or dumb phone, doesn't matter. Your smartphone if you're with Apple. Dumb phone if it's anything else. Oh, shoot. Don't throw tomatoes. Can you do us a favor? Check in on social media and let people know that you're at Southridge, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. If you didn't get your selfie, go ahead and get it in and get that up, so let people know that you're here. And also, like Brian said earlier, you can launch our Southridge app on your phone to follow along with the notes this morning as well, or if you're using it for your Bible too. That's cool. Everybody good with that? Good. Can we do something different this week? Can we have a conversation? So what I mean by that is I'm going to speak and say some words that I hope make me sound really smart, and I hope that you'll like. That was a joke. Like, this is the conversation. So then that's the part where you laugh. You know what I mean? So, like, you respond to what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It just kind of helps us to move this forward, and then we'll get out of here before 3:30. So I'm just kidding. Moving forward, this morning we're in the second week of our series, Fail, giving us the faith when we fall, having faith when we fall. And I just want to get this out of the way before I dive in. The past few months have been an interesting season for me. If you notice, I'm doing a weird thing with my eyes. around Thanksgiving, I noticed that I had something going on with one of my eyes, and I kept wiping my eyeglass lens profusely, thinking that there was a smudge, and there wasn't a smudge. So I went to the eye doctor, and then she's kind of doing the ooh-ah thing, and I'm like, well, what do you see? So then she referred me to another doctor, and that lady did the same thing, then referred me to a specialist, and there's some stuff going on in my left eye, and that's progressed over the past few weeks. There's not many people that know about it. Thank you to the ones that have been praying. I've had 3 surgeries so far, and I'm scheduled for a 4th surgery this week, Wednesday, and possibly a 5th one after that. But I know that God has already healed me. I'm just waiting on the healing to manifest however he chooses. So if you see me doing something weird, it's because I want to be able to see all your faces and also follow my notes. So that's why I'm doing that. All right? That's where you talk back. There we go. See, you're working with it. Awesome. If there is anything that this world is aching for, it's hope. If there's anything that people are longing for in this season of life, and always, it's hope. It's not just this year. It's not just years before and years that will come. We're always looking for hope in something that's greater. It's always this thing in our hearts to try to be a carrier of hope or people of hope. I've always tried in my life to be a carrier of hope or to be known as someone that's hopeful. One of my life's goals is that when I die and at my funeral, I hope that whoever is officiating it and standing before that casket will say, Jeremy brought hope. I hope that they will say he instilled hope in the lives of others. There's a statement that has always stuck with me that one of my mentors used to say, and that was, those with the most hope will always have the most influence. Those that have the most hope will always have the most influence. And that's a statement that ought to be true of the church. We are to be the hope of the world because Christ, the hope of glory, lives on the inside of us. And so we're to bring hope to those that are hopeless. We're to bring life to those that are walking through dead situations. And so I pray this morning that you will be inspired by faith and hope in God to be able to release hope even in your life. And many times throughout life, we have hope that is often juxtaposed with failure. I don't know if you've ever been in that place of failure. I have. Maybe you've tried something and you failed, or maybe you've walked through a situation or a circumstance that hasn't looked the way that you would hope for it to. Well, I want to tell you this morning and encourage you in the Lord to know that there is hope in God, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But first, I want to skip down to point number 3, if you can, on your notes. There's a scripture that's there out of the book of Zechariah. I want to skip down to that a second, and we'll come back up to the top. It says, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I'm going to say that again. This is the word of the Lord. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Zechariah 9:12. And this scripture describes a group of people who are prisoners, who are bound to a sense of hope. It is the call of every believer for us to return to that place of hope. This fortress and this stronghold in some versions is not a negative stronghold, but it's kind of like a ball and chain to hope. If I'm going to be bound to anything, I would want to be bound to hope. Because as I'm bound to hope, that means when I walk through life's failures and circumstances, I know that there is still hope for me to come through that circumstance on the other side. Anybody with me this morning? Amen. I think of that scripture in Titus 2:13 that says, while we look for the blessed hope and revelation of the glory of God, it is our call as believers to carry hope, because what happens is as we dispel that hope to people around us, they can begin to see the glory of God in their situations. They begin to see the glory of God in their circumstances. In our society, the word hope means something that's light. It means, you know, I hope it doesn't snow, or I hope I do good on that test, or I hope that my car doesn't break down, or I hope I have enough money to go to Florida, or I hope that my church puts enough money together to send me and my family on a 7-day cruise around the world into Europe. Keep wishing, right? So for many of us in the somebody said yeah. For many of us in our sense of the world that we live in, hope means something light. But in the biblical sense of hope that we're looking at this morning, we're talking about the joyful anticipation of good. The joyful anticipation of good, the excited condition before something happens. Maybe some of you are sitting in this room this morning and you're saying, I want to have the joyful anticipation of something good to happen in my life, but the circumstance that I'm walking through right now isn't helping me to believe that. Maybe some of you came in the room this morning and you're saying, I'm looking at the situation in my family or the situation on my job or the situation in my relationship or my marriage, and I'm trying to understand, how can I have hope when everything seems to be failing? My friends, the scripture says, return to the stronghold, or return to the fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce to you, I will restore double. And what God is telling us and speaking through the prophet Zechariah to the children of Israel is that everything that has been stolen from them, he's restoring double. Not only is God telling us to run to the stronghold, for he is our stronghold, but when we run to him and in that place of intimacy and relationship with God, he restores us. And it's one thing to be restored just what's been taken away, or to have restored just what's been taken away, but God is so good that he restores double to us. This is the awesome and powerful God that we serve. Having hope in the midst of failure. You're in the middle of circumstances that give you every right to deny that you even have hope. The circumstances say one thing, but you say another. And this is the reality of the tension in our faith journey, isn't it? I'm walking through that right now with my eye. So I go to a doctor that says, I'm thinking it's just some fluke thing, and he tells me, well, we'll do this procedure and that procedure. If I close that eye, I can't really see. And then I say, well, after the surgery, what's going to happen? Well, Mr. Simpson, there's a possibility that we'll be able to get most of your vision restored. I don't want to hear that. I can't accept that. I'm 31 years old. I've got 2 kids, a wife, a baby that I love to hold and kiss and bite her toes and stuff. Yeah, she's cute. I got stuff to do. And at that, I'm a musician. I'm a pastor. I preach and teach for a living. I lead worship. I got to be able to read music. Heck, I play the pipe organ. You know what I'm saying? I don't have time to wait around on this diagnosis of what's happening in the eye, but I believe and stand in hope that God is going to clear that. Now, whether he chooses to do it supernaturally, which is awesome, and he does all the time, miracles in our midst, or if he uses the doctor's hands, I can honestly say, even right now, since they prayed for me earlier, there's a little bit more clarity in my left eye. It's really kind of crazy. God does those types of things. He does that. And I don't take that for granted. You can't allow the situation that you're walking in to rob you of hope. It's not over until God says it's over. They would say it's not over till the fat lady sings. Well, I don't want to equate God to a big fat lady singing. It's not over till God says it's over. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. And this is, it's the reality of our faith journey, isn't it? That we're walking through this tension of I'm trying to live hopeful and I'm trying to have hope, even when it seems like things are failing around me. And it's so much easier to fall into the failure and to just give up. That is our tendency, to just give up. Well, I tried and it didn't work, and I might as well just give up. Maybe you tried at a certain test. Maybe you tried in school and it didn't quite work. Maybe you tried for a certain job and career and it didn't quite work, and you had hope that it would, but it failed. Maybe you tried in your marriage and it seemed like you tried and she tried and he tried and it just couldn't seem to come together. My friends, there is hope when we stand in the Word of God and we run to Him as a fortress. Are you still here this morning? All right, talk back with me. I don't want to keep you till 4. We serve a God, and this is, God is so good. He's so good, because even when I got the diagnosis of the crud and the crap that's going on in my eye, can I just talk to you like a real person? Is that okay? Even when I got that diagnosis, I thought to myself, man, does that mean I'm going to be blind? Does that mean I'm not going to have vision in that eye? What does that, you know, what does that look like? You have the questions, and you have the doubt, and you have all the stuff that's going on. And you know what I've learned in situations? This isn't in my notes, but what I've learned in situations like that is sometimes, you know, you want the support of the community around you, and you want the support of those that are close to you, praying for you, lifting you up. But sometimes it's harder to keep hope when everybody knows what's happening in your circumstance. And here's the reason why. Because everybody's not at the same connectedness with the Lord. Everybody's not at the same connectedness with the fortress that we're talking about. So sometimes when you begin to share certain things, I shared with a couple people and their response was, oh man, you're falling apart. There's power in words. I'm not falling apart in Jesus' name. I don't care that my, I'm serious. I don't care that my Achilles tendon is just, last time I preached here, I was in a boot. God healed me of that. He can heal this eye. If God can heal someone of cancer, He can heal the eye. If God can restore a marriage, He can heal my child. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you're dealing with. But God says He will restore double for what we've gone through and what the enemy has tried to rob us of. And the goodness of God shows us time and time and time again throughout Scripture and throughout our own lives that He has a reputation of stepping into situations, not just stepping in. Anybody ever been in the 11th hour and 12 o'clock is coming and you don't know how or when or where or why, but God just breaks in and breakthrough happens? God has a reputation of releasing breakthrough in the lives of those that don't stop, in the lives of those that don't quit. Can I get an amen? Or okay, that's good. That's good. That helps me to keep going. See, as I'm encouraging you, you're encouraging me. See how this works? Okay, you didn't think that was funny. That's all right. I love the description of hope in Hebrews 6:19. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul that's firm and secure. And this anchor that we're talking about, or this stronghold, or this fortress, if you will, it represents a place of safety. For many of us, this building represents a stronghold or a fortress of hope. Now, we know that this building is just made of natural materials. But what happens on the inside of this place consecrates it as a fortress for us. The scripture says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into and they are saved. So as we worship God in this atmosphere, as we come into this place in community, it becomes consecrated as a place or a fortress for us to dwell together and to worship God and hear from Him. And I think of so many times when I talk about hope and failure, I think of Joseph, I think of Moses, I think of David, I think of Job, you think of Peter. There's so many examples in the Bible, and we think that all these people just had all their stuff together and nothing ever happened in their lives. Let's talk about it. Let's think about Joseph. Joseph, you know, the guy that had the great Technicolor dream coat. Technicolor part's not in the Bible. Anybody ever seen the play? I was in it a long, long time ago. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. You know, Joseph was on this journey, and the Lord gave him a dream. Joseph was a dreamer. He was a visionary. He was someone that had insight in a supernatural way, and he shared his dream with some of the closest ones around him. And they tried to kill him. They tried to kill him, but what ended up happening is they sold him into slavery. And you know the story. He was sold into slavery. He ended up working for Pharaoh because he could interpret Pharaoh's dream, and then Pharaoh's wife said, hey, Then she tried to get him, and then what happened? She cried bluff wolf, and then he ended up in jail. But at the end of the road, he was set free and became ruler over that region. And God used his story of pain and struggle to bring the people forward. God is using your story of pain and struggle in your situation to bring you to the place that he wants you to be. It doesn't look like it when we're going through it. But today I want to help give us some framework and some points that will help us to understand how to hold on to hope when we're walking through failure. How to grasp hope in the midst of failure. If you're following along this morning, you know, I want to say one more thing before I dive into those points. You know, I'm sure that for Joseph sitting in a jail cell, like many of us, we have put ourselves in different cells in life. Cells of doubt, cells of fear, cells of questioning, cells of wondering, God, will you actually come through? Is your word really true? Am I really hoping and believing, or is it worth nothing? But God is saying to us this morning, I want to pull those things out of you so I can place my destiny in you and see that come forward in your life. There is a purpose. There's a purpose for the junk that's going on in my eye. And isn't it interesting that in the times when everything is great, we don't really, if I can just be real, we don't really pay as much attention to God when everything is going well in life. It's so easy for us to have hope when nothing is happening, when everything is calm and the waters are still. It's so important for us to have hope when the waters are still just as much as when they are raging. Because it's in those times, it's in those seasons of hopelessness and despair that God pours out his love and he pours out his heart and he pours out his restoration upon us. You guys still with me? Good. So let's get stirred to a place of hope. The first step on holding on to hope in the midst of failure is this. Plant the seed. Plant the seed. What does that look like? As I was preparing for this morning, this is what came to my heart. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I memorized it in the King James Version. It always said, you know, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I don't know why it had to be faint not, but that's just the way it is. Get on King James about it. What is this scripture saying to us? If you stay loyal, if you stay faithful to God, if you keep exercising your faith, going back to what I was saying earlier, there's this tension between us having hope and being in a hopeless spot. There's this tension between having hope and things failing on us and questioning, God, are you really there? Are you really real? Are you really going to break through in my child's heart and bring them home? God, are you really going to break into my spouse's heart so we can have restoration in our marriage? God, are you really going to break into this work situation? Father, are you really going to break into this physical ailment and grant me healing? Anybody ever been there? It's a real place. It's a real tension. But if you stay loyal and faithful to God, there will be a day when victory will come. Hear what I'm saying. There will be a day when victory will come, when breakthrough will come. We just sang the song about it. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken because Jesus is the victorious one. He wears the crown. He has overcome. Therefore, you and I overcome. We have victory because of him. And there's something to staying faithful to God. When you look throughout the scripture at these men and women of God who have walked through situations of hopelessness and failure, God doesn't look at how well they get it done. Well, I checked off the list that I made to church this week and that week and the following week and the other week. That's not what God is looking at. He's looking at their faithfulness. He's looking at their heart. He's wondering, are you really faithful to me? And are you going to be faithful to me even in the midst of your failure? Will you be faithful to me in the midst of failure, or will you push me aside and act like I'm not really there? Because at some point, we're going to have to come to him and get things straight, right? Faith. Without faith, you can't have hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we cannot see. What am I saying here? Plant the seed. I can't see the seed in the ground when I cover it with soil. I can't see it. I can't even see where I planted the seed unless I mark it, but I know it's there. You understand that the seed is there. I have faith that in the right season, an acorn is going to produce a mighty oak tree. I have faith that everything that I'm praying for, that everything that I'm worshiping for, that everything that I'm believing God for, that in his time and in his way, that seed will produce fruit. And that fruit is hope. Friends, we don't have time to play games with hopelessness. The world has enough hopelessness. There's enough despair around us. I could go into deeper things, but I don't need to. You're here just like I am. But the world needs us to show them hope, and real hope is found in Christ Jesus. The world needs us to show them, the church, that even in their failures, there is hope. So the job didn't work out, there's still hope. So the relationship didn't work out, there's still hope. So you're trying to fix things and bandage things and put stuff on it to band-aid it together, there is still hope. Run to the fortress of hope, and I declare to you that I will restore double, is what God says. Amen. I'm encouraged this morning. And, you know, the old school mentality is that the more that you speak it, the more that it becomes real. But I believe that God's word says when faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. If faith comes by hearing it and hearing comes by the word, then the more that I speak the word and the more that I hear it, the more that it builds my faith. So that when I'm in this tension between hope and hopelessness, I can stand in that and believe that God is still in control. The second is this, water and fertilize it. I put these notes together for all the gardeners for the springtime. You don't want to see me gardening. My grandma used to have these flower bushes. And I used to hate, like, going out to water them because my grandparents live on a lot of land. So I would have to go to the main house, get the bucket, fill it up with the fertilizer, and then walk way out and dump the, you know, the water mixture on the trees, the flower trees. So one time, not one time, it was multiple times, I'll admit, I confess, I started getting bleach. Don't throw stones. I got bleach and poured it in the buckets and would take it on the trees. Yeah, I got whooped for it. I already paid my due. That was a long time ago. Water and fertilize it. Don't pour bleach on it. Water and fertilize it. And this is the importance of understanding this. Many times we get hung up on failures. I know some people that have failed in life. I have failed in life. I'm probably the only one in the room that's ever failed at anything. I remember my very first football game in seventh grade. We had practice after practice after practice. Came time for the game, and we were at this big old stadium, and it was time for the play. And I swear to you, I'm not lying. I stood there. I was in position ready to go. Play was called, and I just froze. And my friend Craig, I'll never forget, he's like double my size. He's like, Simpson, go, go. And I'm like, go where? Coach is like, go, go. And I'm just looking around. And after that, I had failed. I failed in the moment. I clearly didn't get the athletic gene that everybody else in my family has. I got the creative gene, the communicative gene, all that kind of stuff. They all got the athletic one. You guys didn't think that was funny, but it was true. My coach kicked me on my butt literally after that. I don't know why I told you that story. Failure is circumstantial. And this is what we have to understand about it. Most of us don't understand or like the circumstance when we're in it, right? I don't like being in circumstances. I don't like what I'm facing right now with my eye. It's a real circumstance. I don't like when the doctor comes to me with that needle and sticks it in my eye. I don't like when they take the suction cup and drop the red dot into my pupil. I don't like that stuff. It does not feel good. You sit there and you hold your breath. Have you ever had a shot in your eye? All I can do is tell you to breathe. Just breathe, because it's absolutely horrible. And I hope you never have to deal with that. I don't like the circumstance when I'm in it or walking through it, but there is a process that God takes us through, and hope reinterprets the circumstance. When you have hope, your failure is reinterpreted. When you have hope, your sin is reinterpreted. What am I talking about? We all have had a reinterpreted circumstance that is in common. Had Jesus not reinterpreted our sinful state, you and I would be on our way to hell. Had Jesus not reinterpreted the fact that we are a sinful people, we would be apart from God. But because he died on the cross for you and for me, he reinterpreted all of our circumstances so that we could be with him in relationship. You need to understand that just because failure happens or is happening in your life, failure is not eternal. The word does not say that failure will last always, but it does say that there is a king and that his name is Jesus, who is beginning and the end, and he will last always. And so if I am in Christ, he is able to take my failure and turn it around for his good in my life, to work out the purpose of what he's placed there. And some of you all have been questioning purpose because you failed. I want to tell you something. Be encouraged, friends. Be encouraged, brother and sister. It's not over. Failure is circumstantial. It is purely circumstantial. And it's our tendency, when we experience failure, to give up before we see the results. Isn't it? It's our failure. It stops us. It hinders us. It weighs us down. It makes us feel discouraged. And before you know it, we're believing the lies that the enemy would tell us, that it's never going to work. There's no hope. You might as well stop trying. You tried before and it didn't work, so why would you try again? Because I don't operate the way the world operates, God says. I want you to have joyful expectation of the good. Maybe it didn't look good yesterday. Maybe it didn't look good last week. Maybe it didn't look good a month ago or a year ago or way back then. But have joyful anticipation that good is coming. Do you hear me this morning? Have joyful anticipation that you can stand on your anchor, and your anchor is a mighty fortress that you can run into. And that anchor restores us. That anchor heals us. That anchor sets us free. I want to share something. When I was preparing for this morning, I was trying to find a great story, something that would make me sound really brilliant. And I got a really good one. So I was reading and found about the bamboo tree and what the process is for growing bamboo. Who would have known ever that this was the process? Does anybody know how to grow bamboo in here? I didn't think so. So there are some farmers in Malaysia, and they have a lesson to teach us. So here we go. In the first year, the seed is planted, the bamboo seed. It's water, it's fertilized, and nothing visible happens. Anybody connected to this? In the second year, they continue to water and fertilize. Nothing visible happens in the second year either. Third year, water, fertilizer, they're even more necessary, yet nothing happens. There's absolutely no sign of visible growth. Sometimes it feels that way in our faith journey. We walk through life, we water it, we fertilize it with prayer, with praise, with worship, with believing, with God's word, and it doesn't seem like there's physical change that's taking place. It doesn't seem like anything is moving or happening. It just seems like we're at a pause or a standstill or stagnant. The fourth year, they do it all again and again, and nothing happens. I don't know about you, but after year three, shoot, after year two, I would have been done. After year one, I would have been done. They get to year five, and they diligently water and fertilize the seed. And guess what happens? The bamboo grows 90 feet in 30 days. What am I saying here? What's happening? What's going on? Maybe you're in joyful anticipation of the good in your career. Maybe you're in joyful anticipation of the good in your relationship. Maybe you're in joyful anticipation of the good in a health diagnosis or something that's happening in your life. Maybe you've been praying. Maybe you've been believing. Maybe you've been watering and fertilizing, and it feels like nothing is happening in your life. Do not stop. Do not stop. Do not give up. Maybe you have practiced and practiced and practiced. Maybe you have tried and tried and tried. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she said, I will not stop, because if I can touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I know I will be made whole. And my friends, God says to us this morning, don't stop pursuing hope. Be a carrier of hope. Return to the fortress, you prisoners of hope. We are bound to hope. We are to cling to hope, because hope is all we have. For when we lose hope, what is there to stand on? I think of the hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I have often in my life felt like a failure. I have often wrestled with failure when it comes to life, when it comes to thoughts about myself, when it comes to any type of ideas. I thought that I failed recently. I'm working on my new summer calendar. I've got a figure that I've got to maintain. I got about 30 pounds left, and I don't know how I'm going to get that out before June. I'm joking. That was a laugh moment. Some of you are like, what the heck is he talking about? First service thought it was funny. Many times we wrestle with failure, and we don't quite know how to process it. We don't quite know how to get hope back when things in our life have failed. We don't quite know how to cling to hope at times when it seems like all is lost. I love what Romans 5 says. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Hear what I'm saying. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Don't dig up in doubt what you have planted in faith. Hear what I'm saying. You plant the seed of faith in the ground, and yes, you might not be able to see it now, but you have hope that that faith will shoot up into a mighty fruit tree. It'll shoot up into what it is that you're believing God for, into what you're hoping will happen in your life, to see that take place according to his will. And part of the problem is that we're so used to having it our way. You look at point three, wait for the growth. We're so used to having it our way, but we've got to wait for the growth. And that's really difficult for people like us, because we're used to everything being fast, everything being quick, everything being microwaved. We're so used to this microwave faith that if we have faith right now and it doesn't happen right in that instance, then we give up. It's not like that. One of the church mothers that the tradition that I grew up in, we called the older senior saints of the church, the women, they were called the church mothers. And I can just hear Sister Johnson saying, this ain't no have it your way Burger King church. This is not Burger King church. The Holy Ghost runs this church, and he doesn't move like we move at Burger King. This is not have it your way church. And she was right. She was right. It's not have it your way. It's not have it your way, because God takes us through the process. If perseverance produces character and character produces hope, then that means it's going to take walking through some things that don't feel good in the situation or the time that it's happening, but that God is producing a hope in the middle of that. What does the scripture say? Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Sometimes it feels like the enemy has just gut punched you. Sometimes it feels like there's been such a blow and life happens and you think to yourself, how in the heck did I get here? Is it because of something that I did? Is it because God doesn't love me? Is it because, I'm just going to be honest, I've questioned and asked the Lord, I said, God, how in the world, why am I going through this? I've done nothing but serve you faithfully. I've done nothing but try to follow you and encourage others to follow you. And I keep on hearing the Lord saying, because I'm taking you through the process. I'm taking you through the process. And the glory that's coming far outweighs the trials that are momentary. The trial is momentary. Failure is momentary. It's not eternal. Are you hearing me this morning? The enemy would mean for it to be evil. He would try to use it as a tactic to distance you from God, to distance you from his heart, and to lie to you and fill your mind and your heart with lies, because that's the only thing that he's good at. He's not good at anything else. But God is saying it to us today, return to your fortress. Every setback, every situation was a setup for us to thrive. Every setback that you've walked through or that you're even facing now, every situation that you might be encountering even today, it is a setup for you to thrive. It's your choice. Will you hold on to hope or let the enemy lie to you. And you know what I've learned through this, whatever you want to call it, faith journey, walking with the Lord, I don't want to sound whatever, doesn't matter. What I've learned is this: our purpose is found in God's promise. It would have been enough for God to say, just return to the fortress, just come to me. But he didn't just say that. He said, return to me, you prisoners of hope. And then he announces, I'm going to restore. It would have been enough if he just restored one or what was stolen. But I'm going to restore double the portion of what was taken. I'm going to restore double the portion of what was lost. I'm going to restore double for the heartache. I'm going to restore double for what you have walked through. God loves us that much, and he's so good that he grants us that awesome blessing. There's a preacher, and one of his best quotes, I thought, was when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. And it's always in those moments where we feel like all hope is lost. At least for me, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for anyone else in the room. Where you're at the 11th hour, and it's 11:56, and you can't seem to figure out, I don't know how this is going to change. I don't know how this situation is going to turn. I don't know when breakthrough is going to happen. And then, boom, something happens. And before you know it, you're looking around like, how in the world did I get here? Because God loves us so much. And he says, I will restore. I remember, worship team, you guys can come out if you can hear me. I remember a few years ago, multiple years ago now, when Erica and I decided, oh, we're just going to start our family. And we thought, you know, it's just this quick process of starting our family. And we were walking through month after month after month after month for 26 months before she conceived. We couldn't figure out why we had lost hope. We thought, well, I guess it's not going to happen. I never really vocalized it because you know how sometimes you don't want to vocalize things because it makes it real. I had thought in my head, well, maybe I've done something wrong and God just, you know, doesn't love me enough to grant me this blessing of children. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. That's not even God's character. That's not how our Father operates. Why would God spend the time trying to harm me? He's not about harming me, for I have plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. 26 months of failure, 26 months of questioning, 26 months of trying to figure out how to have hope. And after that amount of time, hope seems to fade. And one weekend, a friend of ours was up preaching at our church from Texas, and she said, I shared this testimony on New Year's Day at first service. She said, if there's something you've been believing God for, praise him right now extravagantly. Whatever it is, praise him right now extravagantly. And so I grabbed Erica. She was on the front row. I grabbed her hand, and we just started dancing. And we just danced and danced and danced and danced. We danced all around the front of the church. Nobody knew why we were dancing. It doesn't matter if they knew or not. Nobody knew what we were believing God for. And this is the beauty of it. That weekend was also Cinco de Mayo. We had gone out with some friends and probably had more alcohol than we should have. I say that for a reason. Can I say that in church and not get stoned? Okay. What's funny about it is it was Cinco de Mayo, and that week, those past two weeks, she had been feeling tired and just not good and had no energy, yada, yada, yada. And so she and a friend at work who was feeling the same way took a pregnancy test. I didn't even know it. And that Wednesday, I hear this scream early in the morning. So I run out of the room. I'm like, what's going on? She's holding this stick. And I'm like, what is the problem? And so I look at it, and it's a positive pregnancy test. And I'm just like, no, no. And I'm really meaning yes. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys have been there. So excited, running around, jumping up and down, even ran down the street to Walgreens to get a test to make sure it was positive, all three. In all that time, I made the alcohol comment because she was pregnant and we didn't know. That's why I'm saying she probably drank too much. But God was so good to us in that moment that we were praising him as if it hadn't happened because we had joyful anticipation of it coming. Do you hear what I'm saying? We were believing him in our worship, in our praise, that it was coming. So even though we didn't know that it had already come and the seed was already fertilized and growing, we still praised him in the midst of that. We still held on to hope in the midst of it, even when there didn't seem to be any hope. I want to show you this clip because I think it will speak to you. This is Erica. And I share that, not that that's, you can keep playing, Jer, not that that's the only thing that God has done, because he's done so many things. If I shared all the things that he's done to stir our faith so that we wouldn't lose hope, we'd be here till 5 o'clock tonight. But I know some of you guys are hungry. And what's so cool, it's funny, that video, I don't even know who recorded that video. Someone recorded that and sent that to us. I'm so thankful that they captured that. It was amazing. 5,000 people in the room. I wish you guys could have all been there for the praise that erupted after that. What's even cooler than all that is that we chose our children's names way back years ago, before we were even married. We were dating. I think we were even just kind of dating. And we picked their names. You know, the name Jaden, it's a Hebrew name, and it means God has seen and heard. Means Jehovah has seen and heard. I can't wait till my son is old enough to understand the story so I can tell him how God had seen and heard our prayers and our cries, even in the midst of feeling hopeless, even in the midst of experiencing failure. And for some of you guys this morning, you're in the room and you're saying, all this sounds good. Maybe some of you are saying, I wish he would sit down. I don't know. But maybe you're in the room this morning, you're saying, you know, it sounds good, sounds great to, you know, try to have hope, but that door is closed. Maybe you're in the room this morning and you're saying, how can I possibly have hope? Because I had hope before and I tried and God failed me, or I had hope in this person or that person, or I had hope in the money, I had hope in the job, I had hope in the people, and where are they now? So why should I have hope? Or maybe you're saying, you know, I had hope and I really tried as hard as I could and I really gave it a good shot and it failed. I want to say this morning. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. When you walk through failure, when you walk through that place or that situation that is circumstantial, God uses those moments to point us back to his glory. God uses those moments to draw others to him. Nothing has come into your life. Nothing has happened in your life that God hasn't already prepared an answer for. And this is the problem. When we go back to, this ain't no have it your way church. Here's the problem. We operate in time. We're so used to 24/7. It's got to happen here, because if it doesn't happen there, then it's not going to happen here. And you know, when I think about having kids, not only did God restore, he didn't just give us one. Then he gave us two. And when I think about the names, I'm not saying this to glorify myself or my kids. I hope you don't think that. When I think about those names, God has heard. And Zoe, meaning abundant life. I mean, let's just close the book and go home. Because God spoke to us even before and said, this is my promise to you. Now live into it. Walk into it. Don't lose hope. Keep going forward. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, you know what, I've lost hope. Well, you came to the right place because hope has a name. Hope has a name, and the name of hope is Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Hope has a name, and the name of hope is Jesus. And guess what? It's not over until God says it's over. It's not over. It's not finished. When God is in it, all things are made new. For behold, I make all things new. Maybe you're struggling this morning at work. Maybe you're struggling through school. Maybe you're struggling in a relationship. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe your child has left home and you're calling the prodigal back. I don't know what it is that you're facing. Maybe you're struggling with some type of health ailment, some sickness or some diagnosis. And you're trying to figure out, how do I stand and have hope through this? Because it seems like everything has failed. Well, friends, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that I can't see. Plant the seed, water and fertilize it, and wait for the growth. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't fall into the lie of listening to the enemy and thinking that it's done. Because there's always hope in Christ Jesus. I want to share this before we close. I'm not saying this because it's Valentine's Day weekend, but I think it's interesting. You know, we normally use the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 for weddings. And I love how Paul said it. He said, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And I think that that's so interesting when you think about the process. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Well, you can't have hope without faith. And when you have faith, hope is stirred inside of you. And when you have hope, it releases the love of God in your heart. And then what happens when that's released on the inside of you is it comes out. I want to encourage you this morning. This is something that has always stuck with me. The greater the pain, the greater the anointing. And the anointing represents the presence of God in the midst of what's happening. The greater the story, the greater the glory. The greater the adversity, the greater the victory. I'm going to say it again. The greater the pain, the greater the anointing. The greater the story, the greater the glory. The greater the adversity, the greater the victory. Double. Double. I will restore double. I've always been a dreamer and a visionary. And I'm able to know the difference between the dreams that God gives me. I'm not trying to sound big-headed or whatever. I'm just being realistic. And I had a dream Friday night. A friend of mine texted me, and I texted him back, and I said, and by the way, I had a dream that revival broke out at Southridge. And it was such a cool dream because I could see people. The place was packed. There wasn't any space. And people were coming that were hurt, that were broken, that needed healing, that needed restoration. And they were coming here, and it was like, just like they were getting filled up, and life was just flowing through them, and hope was just flowing through them. And one of the things that I've been praying for and believing for and watering a seed for is for revival to happen. Not so that we can be known as some great church, but so that the name of Jesus can be glorified. Not so that we can be looked so fabulous, but so that someone can come to know the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. God will take you through places that you don't understand just to bring you to the place that he needs you to be. And some of you are in places right now that you don't understand. You have no idea why you're there or why you're here. Some of you have walked through situations and trials. I'm walking through one. But as I'm telling you, I'm telling myself. As I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. It's circumstantial. And the glory that's coming, the glory that is coming, far outweighs anything that we're walking through right now. The restoration that's coming far outweighs what I see in front of me. I'm going to close with this. I love the word believe, because in the middle of the word believe, B-E-L-I-E-V-E, is the word lie. Isn't that a funny juxtaposition? You got lie smack dab in the middle of the word. And in order to believe, you've got to look past what you see directly in front of you and look beyond that. It's time for us to look beyond, church. It's time to look beyond failure. It's time to look beyond circumstance. It's time to believe again. It's time to hope again. It's time to dream again. It's time to have faith again. It's time to be stirred again. Let's pray. Would you stand? God, we just thank you that we have hope in you. God, we thank you that we have hope in your promises. And God, I thank you this morning for the people that are in this room, for your beautiful sons and daughters who you've brought here today for such a time as this. And God, I pray that in Jesus' name, every lie of bondage that the enemy would place on them would be broken. God, I pray that every sense of hopelessness would be broken in Jesus' name. God, for those that have tried and have failed, God, I ask that you would stir in them a heart, God, to run to the fortress. God, I pray for those that are walking through valleys right now. God, for those that are walking through crooked places, Lord, I pray that they would be made straight in the name of Jesus. God, would you hold back the hand of the enemy? God, for your name is a strong tower that the righteous run into, and they are saved. So, God, this morning, we return to our fortress as prisoners of hope, to be bound to you, to cling to you, God. God, and this morning, I ask for restoration. I ask for restoration. I ask you for restoration this morning, Lord. On behalf of every heart, on behalf of my brothers and sisters, God, I ask for supernatural restoration of everything that has been stolen. May it be returned in Jesus' name. For your glory, God, that your name would be exalted, that you would be honored and magnified in and through us. Amen. This morning, we want to give you an opportunity. This stage is just that. It's a stage. It's made of wood and carpet and concrete underneath. But the stage is made an altar when a sacrifice is made. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I don't know what it looks like. Maybe you're walking around, you're carrying failure, and you need to make a visible sign to say, you know, I need to lay this failure down. This altar is open. Pastor Mark is here. Pastor Becky is here. I'm here. We're all here to pray with you. Or maybe you just need to come and have some time alone with God. That's okay, too. You don't have to rush because your kids are taken care of. Tori seriously said, whatever needs to happen, they're not worried about it. Take care of your business with God. But while we worship in these next few moments, I just want you to know that the altar is open, that the fortress is open. And if you want to come, you can.